Well, good morning, Fellowship Ava. Welcome. Would you stand with us? We're going to begin our time reading a psalm that God's people from the very beginning of time have sang as they entered into the temple. This is Psalm 100. And so we're going to read this together. And let's hear these words. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Let's read this together. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We're going to do exactly what we just read this morning. We're going to praise his name, because he's the only one worthy of it. And so let's fix our gaze upon him this morning, and let's sing this together. All creatures, let's sing it together.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise him. Alleluia.
Our eyes on him.
Thou rushing wind that are so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise him. Hallelujah.
Spirit three in one.
can grab a seat this morning to continue in worship through baptism.
Good morning, fellowship. We do get to celebrate baptism this morning. This is our friend Sydney, who's getting baptized, and one of her good friends, Chloe, is going to share a little bit about her story.
Hey, y'all. I met Sydney our freshman year of college. We became friends through diving headfirst into the college party scene, but grew closer after becoming roommates our sophomore year. When Sydney came into college, she had a lot of family hurt and confusion over what being a Christ follower looked like. She knew about God, but didn't ever know God. We started going to church together, and she started surrounding herself with godly community. During this time, God was really working within her to open her eyes to the true gospel. After joining our community group this past semester, I was able to see Sydney's heart truly change for the Lord, and she decided to fully surrender her life to Him. Sydney, it has been such a blessing to be able to witness your life these past 3 years and to see firsthand how God has transformed your life. I'm so thankful for our friendship. I love you.
Well, Sydney, is it your testimony that you've trusted Jesus in His life, death, resurrection, and ascension for the forgiveness of your sin? You want to follow Him for the rest of your life? Amazing. Then it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Would you sing this with me? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Sing it. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, good morning. I'm going to introduce myself because I know I'm not a familiar face here. My name is David. This is Joanna. And this is Jake, my buddy Jake. And we are just grateful to be here this morning. And I was thinking about this morning in the service. And I know every single week we do a confession and then we do assurance of pardon. And this morning, following that, we're going to sing a song that I know we've sang before. But I want to make sure that we understand what we're actually singing when we sing it. It's got this phrase in there. It says, all sufficient merit. Now, you think about this idea of a merit, you know, like a merit-based scholarship. It's like, so you get a scholarship based on how well you performed. You did something good, so you get something in return. And that's exactly how our world and our world thinks. You perform well, you get something in return. This song is singing the exact opposite of that. It's saying, all sufficient, the work of Jesus is enough for us. It's enough for our position and our identity. And the question becomes, why is that so important? Well, it's the entire story. You see, religion says, if I obey, then I'm accepted. The scriptures teach that I am accepted because of His performance on my behalf, and therefore I obey. So I don't want us to miss the words that we sing when we sing this song this morning, that His work on our behalf is enough. Positionally, we are granted access to the Father because of Christ's work on my behalf, on your behalf, on all of our behalves. It's not based on how well we clean ourselves up or how we compare to other people around us. And so I don't want us to miss that when we sing all sufficient merit. And I want us to do our confession this morning that we do every single week. And then I want us to remember the good work of Jesus on our behalf. So let's confess together. Heavenly Father, have mercy on us. We have not loved you as you deserve. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have not obeyed you as we should. Lord, forgive us our sin. We are in need of a Savior. Would you go back to that last slide real quick? I want you to pick out one line in there that you feel like defines your last week. Was it not loving him as he deserves? Was it not loving somebody else that the Lord's put in your life? Is it a certain sin that you just feel crippled by, that you have not obeyed him? I just want you to be honest with him for a moment. Quietly, just tell him which of those lines hits home to you this morning. And praise be to God, right? That Jesus lived the life that we couldn't. And so together, would you stand with me? And let's remind ourselves of the performance that he did on our behalf so that we could be made right with God the Father. Church, believe the good news. Let's say it. Jesus died for us. Jesus rose for us. Jesus intercedes for us. In him, we are a new creation. In him, we have forgiveness of sin. In him, we have a Savior. Oh, to God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing these words and think about them this morning.
All sufficient Mary, shining like the sun, a fortune I inherit by no work I have done. My righteousness I fall.
It is there, it is free. shall be my final breath. And when I stand accepted before the throne of God, I'll gaze upon my Jesus and thank Him for the cross. Yes, I'll thank Him.
Offer God back to Him what is already His through our liturgy of giving.
Church, let us posture our hearts before the Lord as we are reminded of His provision and invitation to worship through stewarding His blessings. King Jesus, giver of every good and perfect gift, what we have received, we return to You. We give You our time, talents, and tithes. We give You our allegiance, attention, and affection. We give You our lives in word and in deed, that all may know the riches of Your love. Please remain standing for a reading from the Word of God.
Bekokunduri nyalande de bengar toita. Nyalanden den yotti. Heo engari. Kauriti, to jippor de makkoton. Gilla fajiri, fa chagalkirate, imo firtinape, hala lamo lamdo, imo wajobe, imo hollabe, kabaru isa, gondo le taureata musa, ele deute annababe. Wopbe mappe njabi, ko ohali dum, wopbe njabai. Dem ben chakin titono nden tawi men deurai hakunde mabbe. Nden pol beidi kongol gotol wi. Ruhu chenito hali gonga nde hano e hunduko annabi esaya. Wi i mamirabe moron. Yahu to lenyongol mbi atum. Onnanan fa wada de ompamata. Ondaran fa laba. De onji ata. Sabo lenyon gol, bernde mutom yori. Bechukki noppi mappe, be mupi gite mappe. Si wana non fu gite mappe nji an, noppi mappe nanan, haki loji mappe paman. Den be gartan be dewakam, demi den naape. Pol bedi katin, wii. Ande, Kisindam lamdo, nurama yimbe bengana alhurian kobe kampe beketin dotto pol jordi sudu to luiton dubi didi kipudi emojapo warobe ndarudemo benfu emo wajo lamo lamdo emo janginira tanyoral kabaru isa almasihu jomerado walafu kohadimo. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And you may be seated. Thank you, Micah, for reading the scriptures for us this morning. You got to tell us, where'd you learn the language? Is everybody wondering? Yeah.
I grew up in Burkina Faso, West Africa, among the Fulani people. So I just grew up understanding it and hearing it. Yeah.
It's amazing. Thanks for serving us in that capacity. She also serves with her husband with Furniture Friends, Jordan. And they do some amazing work here in our community here in Fayetteville. And so we wanted to bring you into their ministry a little bit this morning. Share a little bit about what Furniture Friends does and why they exist.
Yeah. So through partnership with the local church, we serve international students at the U of A and refugees in Fayetteville through providing free furniture, authentic friendship, and gospel truth. And so we have serve days most Saturdays of the year, especially the next few weeks coming up, because we have a lot of international students arriving these days. And so, yeah, we get to provide free furniture that gets donated to us and help bring that to their apartments, and then just offer friendship, because it's really hard when you arrive in a new country and you don't know anyone, and just being able to be connected with someone who loves you and comes in and wants to be your friend is just what we want to do.
Yeah. And Furniture Friends has been doing this for how many years now?
Ooh, I think it's like over 20 years now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We've just been here for 2 years.
And do we know how many international students are at the University of Arkansas these days?
Right now, it changes.
Yeah.
It's like, in the past, it's been like 1,000 plus.
Okay.
We do know we have about 200 new students arriving in the next few weeks.
That's amazing. So how can we be involved as a church? I know y'all have some days planned, and what does
we
it
do.
Look like?
Yeah. So if you're able, we would love to, for you to come on a Saturday. We meet at our donations warehouse at 9 a.m., and we go till 1 p.m., and we'll get into truck teams. We need people who drive trucks. We need volunteers who are strong, who can lift furniture. And we need people like my size, who just want to, like, be a smiling face and welcome. So, like, you all have place if you want to come try it out. And on these days, right now we're still looking for church groups to partner with us for a lot of these Saturdays.
Okay.
So we deliver furniture. If you get invited in, we get to hang out and chat and learn where our new friends are from, what they're studying, how long they're going to be here, and you just get an opportunity to build a friendship with an international friend.
Amazing. How cool is that, that we get to be a part of that? Hey, thanks for serving in that capacity, Micah. I'll give
thanks
her a hand. Yeah. Bad things are going to happen if I don't move that back a little bit. Won't be good for anyone here. Hey, if you're new with us this morning, you've caught us at the very end of our Acts series. Can you believe we made it? We're in Acts chapter 28. If you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 28. We're going to be looking at verses 11 to 31 this morning. My name's Clark. I get to have the privilege of serving on an incredible team here at Fellowship Fayetteville. Pam and I were at dinner with a couple a few weeks ago, and they found out we were finishing Acts, and the husband said, "Finally!" And I didn't know how to interpret that. But we're all kind of right there with them, right? We've been in Acts for a while, 350 days, 43 sermons. This is the final one in Acts. And a lot has happened since we began Acts. In fact, when we started Acts, we were using this for communication. Anybody remember this? Yeah. And now today we have this right here. A lot has happened. A lot has changed. In fact, I left to go on vacation. I came back. I got back on a Saturday night around midnight. I was driving in the next morning here on a Sunday morning at about 6:30. The sun was coming up behind me as I was heading west, and I hit Van Ash. Apocalyptic destruction has happened to our trees in front of our building here in the last 350 days. And then this has happened, and I know I'm late to the party on this, maybe this is years coming, but jorts are back. And I'm disappointed in you guys. Like, this is a party that I left in the early 90s. In fact, I wore these to parties in the early 90s. And I thought our culture had repented from these. And as Pam and I were coming back from Tokyo this past week and in and out of airports, there were jorts everywhere. And they've definitely made a comeback. And so that's happened since we started our time in Acts. But this is one of my favorite things that happened. God has given Pam and I a granddaughter. And he's given us three sons. And so to have a little girl around the house, it's amazing. I had never knew how pink things could be. How about that smile? She looks like she's getting into something, doesn't she? Yeah. Pam and I are super grateful. A lot has happened in these last 350 days. But one thing that I hope for sure has happened is that you have gained an appreciation for God's heart for the nations of the world to hear the good news of Jesus. Through the example of Peter, through the example of Paul, and through the empowering presence of God's Spirit, now inside, dwelling within his church, empowered to do mission. Michael started us off that first week with this idea. Acts is the continuing story of King Jesus empowering his people through his Spirit. There was a promise made in Acts 1:8 that they would receive power and the Holy Spirit would come upon them. They would be witnesses for Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And proclamation of the good news began. And on Pentecost, Peter proclaimed the good news of Jesus, the Messiah of Israel and the world's true king. And so as we look back on Acts, I didn't want to miss the chance before we jump into our text to just celebrate three big ideas that I hope we can lean into and walk away with. The first one being that the resurrection, which would get them in trouble all through Acts, the preaching of the resurrection, crowns Jesus as Messiah, King, and Lord. The implications for both Jews and Gentiles are unbelievable, and we've seen that play out in our time together these last 43 weeks. The Spirit indwelling and empowering both Jews and Gentiles, that the Spirit of God could live within a Gentile, was difficult for a Jew to understand. The very presence of God inside us, the church now becoming the new temple, and then the mission of God being for all nations. We never want to forget that as Paul is passing the baton to us as we end our time as Acts and inviting us to play our part. And the implications of these truths should serve as an ongoing anchor for us in all we do here at Fellowship Fayetteville. So let's jump in, Acts 28. I'm going to summarize these first couple of sections of our passage today, 11 to 16. They've been on Malta. You learned about the storm and the fear they were experiencing, some of Paul's ministry on the island of Malta last week. And after 3 months, they embark on their journey. And in verse 14 at the very end, it says, "And so we came to Rome." And this has been a long time coming for Paul. He's appealed to Caesar. He's made his way to Rome. When they got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself, yet under Roman guard. And so that's where we find ourselves here this morning. 3 days. It only took him 3 days landing in Rome before he calls the Jewish leaders together there in 17 to 22. They don't know the type of trouble that he's been in. So he explains to them what he's been through, and he reminds them, you can see the highlight there, it's because of the hope of Israel that he's bound in this chain, preaching the good news that Jesus is Israel's Messiah. Because they don't know what he's gotten into or the type of troubles he's in, they say, "Well, we want to hear your views on things." And so he begins this process of proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And so as we work through this last section of Acts, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the way of proclamation, we're going to look at the story of proclamation, and we're going to look at the invitation of proclamation. Proclamation simply meaning to pronounce the good news arrival that there is a king and there is a kingdom and he's here to reign and rule. So what do we understand when we see the way of proclamation? I think when we hear the word, we think of this idea of shouting good news, this proclamation of an old school newspaper headline. Extra, extra, read all about it. I think that's what we think of. Well, Paul here, he gives us at least six ways to proclaim the good news of Jesus that I think are applicable for us as we walk through our text this morning. The first one we see here is the word witness. A witness just simply tells the story of what they've seen and what they've heard. And he's done this multiple times since his moment of understanding who Jesus was. He did it in Acts 22. He did it before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. He witnessed. He told the story of what happened to him. He saw Jesus. He met Jesus. And he heard Jesus. We've been invited to that witnessing story. You shall be my witnesses. We tell people what we've seen when we met Jesus and what we've heard as he's taught us. He also says that he explained the gospel to them. He explained about the kingdom of God specifically. Paul took complex things and made them simple. For them specifically, he connected historical and spiritual dots to bring clarity. Some of us in the room are gifted at explaining. Some of us, like me, we have to work at that quite a bit. I was in the foyer just a couple of weeks ago visiting with a friend of mine who serves here on Sunday mornings. And he was telling the story of a friend that he met actually through Furniture Friends. And he was so excited. There was just this sparkle, this joy in his eyes, because the day before, he had spent about 2 hours with someone from another faith tradition with the Bible open and their holy book open. And he was connecting the dots from the Old Testament to the New to help this person see that Jesus is the world's true king. How cool is that? Any of us can do that. He was explaining the good news. He also, here in our text, he persuaded. There's no question that his goal and motive was to win others to Christ, to win them over, to convince them, to help them turn from their sin and worship Jesus with all of his training, his spiritual gifting, Paul's amazing cultural nuance in different settings, the indwelling spirit in the wisdom of God speaking through him, not to manipulate, but to persuade and to win people to Jesus. He witnessed, he explained, he persuaded, he welcomed. I don't want to miss this one. Because we often, when we see welcome, we think that's the passive way of communicating or proclaiming the good news. But it's an amazing way. It's part of what happens even through Furniture Friends. Let's not miss the subtle power of hospitality here. He's renting at his own cost a place to live. For so long, Paul has gone. He's the goer. And now he's staying where his feet are planted, and he's sharing the gospel by welcoming people into his home. Let's not miss the role that your home can play in bringing the good news of Jesus. It's why we believe so much in our cell group model and host homes, in our community group model scattered all over Washington County. The power of hospitality, of inviting people into the home. He welcomed them. In fact, years ago, one of Pam and I's neighbors, as she was aging, she was battling cancer. And I noticed all the time there were cars going by to stop and visit with her. And so I talked with her husband and said, what's going on? And she goes, well, she's got some young adult girls that come over and they're reading Robert Coleman's Master Plan of Evangelism together. She's finishing well by welcoming people into her home, casting vision for making disciples and giving their life away to eternal things. I can't wait to see one day the fruit of those welcoming visits as she finished well before the Lord took her home. And then we see the word proclaimed. Paul did do that in public forums, and he would pronounce that loudly. But he likely did it on the deck of a ship and across the table from others. And then he taught. It's the other word that's used here. He helped people see how to practically take the lordship of Jesus and apply that truth to every part of their life. Taking a truth to work, at home, at play, in worship, their tongue, their mouth, their relationships. We see this most played out in his letters. In fact, we believe that during this time in Rome, he wrote some of his prison epistles where he teaches them, new followers of Jesus, how to follow Jesus in all areas of life. And we have explicit commands on how to do that from those letters. Say you're struggling this week and you know you're going to work in the morning and you know you're working with a supervisor, or maybe you are a supervisor and you're struggling with someone that works on your team and you're trying to figure out how to keep the peace and be a truth teller but walk with grace. And Paul's got words for us on how to follow Jesus in that context. Or maybe you find yourself in a difficult financial crisis or a health circumstance or situation. You're trying to figure out, how do I trust God in the unknown? And some of you are there this morning. Paul is teaching them how to apply the lordship of Jesus in that context. And so there's a way of proclamation. Those are just six ways that he's given us to proclaim. But there's also the story of proclamation. What are we talking about? What's the content? What's no secret? As the Spirit has empowered followers of Jesus all through Acts, they pronounce the kingdom of God and that there's a king and his name is the Lord Jesus. And you can see that here in our text. He explained about the kingdom of God from the law of Moses and from the prophets, telling them about Jesus, about the Lord Jesus Christ. This king and his kingdom, this ruler and his reign. The story of proclamation is wrapped up not necessarily about a list of doctrines, although those things are important, but these doctrines are wrapped around a person. It's not Israel. It's not you. It's not me. Wrapped around Jesus, the hero of the story. Every Monday morning when we look back on Sunday, we ask the question, how is Jesus made the hero in the service? Wrapped around him. And then speaking of boldness, in Isaiah 6, you can see here in our text, he, in the power of God's Spirit, he looks back on Isaiah 6 and he confronts, rebukes, he warns the Jews. This is a passage that's used some five different other times in the New Testament. Jesus uses it in Matthew as well as he confronts Jewish leadership. But he's trying to acknowledge the callous nature of the heart of the Jew. No doubt there were also Gentiles that were hearing the good news of Jesus, and their hearts were callous as well. They were captivated by their own gods and their own materialism. They would be hearing but never understanding, seeing but never perceiving. And so Paul says, therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has now been sent to the Gentiles. And it's not that Paul ever walked away from sharing the good news with the Jews. In fact, he's doing that in the very last chapter here. He continues to share the good news with Jews here. But it's a good reminder that this statement from Isaiah can serve as a judgment, a warning, but it's actually an appeal to repentance, to turn from idols and worship the one true King. And we see Jesus practicing this Old Testament to New Testament connection here in Luke chapter 24 on the road to Emmaus. The disciples are trying to figure out what has just happened. And he says, it says here, Luke says in verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. It's about him. He connects the dots. 3 years ago, Dr. Timothy Keller went home to be with the Lord. And he has a quote that I wanted to share with you guys, but instead of giving you one of Garland's long quotes on the screen, I thought we'd listen to Dr. Keller share that with us himself. So take a look at this. How good is that? Is Jesus not good? In Acts, he's Jesus of Nazareth. He's the Son of Man. He's the author of life, the Prince and Savior, the Servant, the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Judge of the living and the dead. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of who he is, demands a response to an invitation, an RSVP, if you will. See it in verse 24. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. All through Acts, there's an anticipation and an expectation that when a Jew or a Gentile is graced with the good news of Jesus, a response is warranted. The word convinced, some versions use the word believed or persuaded. It means to be won over. I like to think of it as settled. You can drop your shoulders. I'm in. Let's go. Convinced. Or a lack of belief. Unbelief. Someone who hasn't bought in. So we have an invitation to believe. And when we're confronted again with these three truths, we summarize Acts. It is the resurrection that has crowned Jesus as Messiah, King, and Lord become something that you believe in. The Spirit now indwelling and empowering you. Are you walking in that power as a follower of Jesus? Have you bought into the idea that the mission of God is not just for Fellowship Fayetteville, but it's for all nations? Here at the end of Acts, the end is the beginning. The end of Acts is the beginning for many of us in the room of belief, the beginning of belief. Now, mind you, there are some of us in the room that have window shopped the good news of Jesus for a lot of years. Most of our lives, we've looked in, we've checked the price, we've waited on a sale. Maybe seeing who else is wearing this gospel or driving this gospel, looking around to see if you want to buy in because of others. Maybe even you've done good research on the product. You've got it in your cart online. You stored up savings for a potential purchase, but you've never walked in and transacted and made the transfer. I want to invite you, if you're that person, to believe, to rely on, to trust the death of Jesus on the cross for you in your place and his resurrection to give you life, to give you a new heart, to buy into someone who's bought in to you, to exchange that transfer of trust, to kneel your heart to the King, to abandon, to turn your heart from other gods and abandon yourself to a King who's paid the ultimate price to bring you into his family and bring you to the table. For some of you in the room, the lights came on for you as you sat across the table from a friend and they shared this good news with you. For some of you, I know some of your stories. It happened in this room, and you're just sitting there during a teaching or in a worship experience or maybe in the prayer room, and the gospel came alive for you. For me, it happened in a little church in Saline County, Arkansas, and the gospel just made sense to me. I'd heard it most of my life, but that's when the lights came on. What did belief look like for me? And this isn't for everybody, but for me, I responded just through a dependent, desperate prayer. And I just said, God, I know you sent your son to pay for my sin, and I believe you raised him from the dead. And I need a new heart. And the peace that I don't have, I need. I receive your gift of eternal life. Thank you for saving me. It was really simple. As we worship here in a few minutes in song and respond, I would invite you to consider praying a prayer like that. The prayer doesn't save you. The one you're praying to saves you, by the way. Believe the good news. In desperation, cast yourself on this true and better King. For some of you, you've bought in. You're convinced. You've been persuaded. You're in. For the convinced, proclaim. Paul's given us at least six ways here that we can proclaim the good news. Take the baton from him here at the end of Acts and run with it. Live lives that are congruent with the words that you speak about King Jesus. You have his spirit in you to proclaim. This is great news for us as a church. Has this not been a great series? God's told us so much, not just about history, but his story. And that's what we want to invite you into. A little bit about what's next, because people have already been asking me. Well, we're going to do for 3 years the book of Philemon. So we're going to take a half a verse a week. No, we're not going to do that. It is a great little letter, though. It's amazing. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to unpack what it means to follow Jesus here at Fellowship Fayetteville. We're going to look at the DNA or the distinctives of life as a church member here at Fellowship Fayetteville. You're going to hear from five different teachers in the month of August. And we're going to connect dots for you on what it means to take a truth and apply it in the context of the local church. And then Labor Day weekend, we're going to start what we call the Upper Room Discourse together, where we're going to engage in John 13 to 17, the last night, the last meal with Jesus, and understand what it means to abide in him and to walk in unity with one another in the church. And so we'll be doing that from Labor Day through Thanksgiving. But as we conclude our service today, I didn't want to miss the chance to celebrate. So I want you to stand with us. And for the remainder of our time, we're going to turn our eyes where the Spirit has pointed us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to kneel your hearts this morning to the King and set your face to your week under his lordship and authority. Let's do that in the power of the Spirit and in the name of Jesus.
There is a King seated among us. Let every heart receive him now. And where there is praise, he will inhabit. And there will be grace and mercy all around. And every burden will be lifted in his presence. Every trophy will be laid down at his feet. And there is a name that reigns above all others. Jesus Christ, the King of all kings. And unto the Lamb, honor and glory, worthy is he who overcame. risen in power. He is alive, and the stone is rolled away. And all our worship will belong to him forever. Death is conquered, and our Savior holds the keys. There is a name that reigns above all. Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. And it won't be long, and we will behold him. Every tear he'll wipe away, and we'll be at home, and the war will be over. Our Savior face to face, and every burden will be lifted in his presence. Every trophy will be laid down at his feet. And there is a name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. All our worship will belong to you forever. Holy, holy, for all eternity. And yours is the name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all. Jesus Christ, the King above all kings.
All hail King Jesus. Thank you.
alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I'll stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, and here in the path of Christ I'll live. Darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, precious blood of Christ.
No guilt in life, let's sing it.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Till he returns calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Well, Father, we give you thanks for this narrative account of the early church that was started in the Gospel of Luke. God, I pray that you would empower us with your Spirit to proclaim the good news. For those wanting to believe, I pray that they would cast themselves upon your mercy through your Son and the good news of his resurrection. God, I pray that you would help us be proclaimers of this good news and bringing hope to those outside these walls. Go with us now and empower us. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. We love you, fellowship. We'll see you next week in August.